It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 577, Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. It is March 26th, 2024. We are a couple days away from the home opener, from the United States opening day. Obviously, the Padres already have started their season. They're 1-1, split those two games against the Dodgers, then came back from Seoul and are playing two exhibition games against the Seattle Mariners. They lose last night, but who cares? It's an exhibition game. And then they play later this afternoon, then an off day, and then the home opener on Thursday, which we know that Yu Darvish will be starting. Mike Schilt announced the rotation yesterday. So that will be part of this home opener roster projection. But welcome on in. If you want to join the show, click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. I will get to the comments as well. If you want to support the channel, you can use that super chat button. It is greatly appreciated. Let's just get right into it with the roster projection. I already did, obviously, since the season started, I did the roster projection for opening day. And I missed by like one or two players on my last roster projection. This one, I'm probably going to miss on one or two because I'm not obviously in the offices with Preller and with Mike Schilt and Ruben Niebla and having those conversations and what's actually going through their minds. But most of it definitely should be correct because I think we know at this point who most of the names are going to be. We know who the names are going to be, just don't know like one or two guys that may be left off that I might think might make it. So let's see. Let's start off with the rotation. If you disagree, agree, feel free. Let your thoughts be known. In the rotation, I've got Darvish, Musgrove, Cease, King, and Waldron. I mean, I know that's going to be correct because it's been announced. Mike Schilt was talking about how Matt Waldron's strong spring helped earn him that fifth rotation spot. Obviously, they acquired Dylan Cease. He wasn't on the sole roster, but he was on the taxi squad along with Matt Waldron. Because if those guys were not on the roster, they could not be on the big league roster for the home opener. Let's say they get optioned. Then Waldron, for example, if he got optioned, he couldn't start in time. He'd have to be down there. Pitchers have to be down there for 15 days. I believe position players, they have to be down there for 10 days. So Waldron, that's how they were able to keep him there on like the big league roster, kind of. And then Darvish Musgrove, as I was saying yesterday, last night, Musgrove, I thought that's who was going to get the home opener start. That's what Mike Schilt was hinting at. That's what it seemed like reporters thought was going to happen, but they're just continuing to go in turn. So Darvish started game one in Seoul. He'll start game one here. And so Darvish and Musgrove will have two starts under their belts before Dylan Cease, Michael King, Matt Waldron will have a single start for the Padres this season. So interesting nugget to remember at the end of this year, just to see how that kind of pans out. And then Dylan Cease starting game three, that would be the Saturday game. And then Michael King starting that Sunday game. And then Matt Waldron will be starting, I believe that's Monday against St. Louis. I think that's the day before that poncho giveaway is April 2nd. So yeah, that's how the rotation is going to shake out. As for Johnny Brito not making it over Matt Waldron, I mean, I like that because, one, Matt Waldron pitched really well in spring. I get it's a small sample size, but I think that they're trying to squeeze as much as they can out of Matt Waldron, and he's already built up. Let's see what he can give. He's pitching well, you know, ride the hot hand, the hot arm. And with Brito not having him in the rotation, you don't have to rush him into the rotation and, you know, put these expectations on him. There's expectations, but maybe it could be a little bit lowered him in the bullpen. He's pitched in the bullpen for the Yankees, and maybe you're saving innings here by not having Brito start in the rotation from the very beginning of the season. And with Matt Waldron, who's a knuckleballer, who knows how long he's going to be super effective as a starter. I don't think he's going to be the five starter all season long for the Padres. So Brito's going to be starting games as long as he's healthy for this team. Here, though, it can give more depth to this bullpen. It's not like he's not on the team. He's going to be in the bullpen, I would assume. I'd be very surprised if he's not in the bullpen. And with Waldron, it's like he pitched really well in spring, no walks. Let's just see what we can get out of him because he's pitching well right now. And if things don't go great, then we can go to Johnny Brito. But what if Waldron goes down to El Paso and he's not pitching as good as he was pitching in spring training and maybe loses a little bit of the confidence? And then you're like, well, should we even bring him up then to the big leagues? And then you go with Brito right out of the gate. And what happens if Brito doesn't pitch great right out of the gate? Then it just feels like there's more questions there. I'm fine with writing that hot hand right now. As for the bullpen, I've got Robert Suarez, Yuki Matsui, Wandy Peralta, Eniel De Los Santos, Tom Cosgrove, Stephen Kolek, Johnny Brito, and then Pedro Avila. So I don't have Jeremiah Estrada. He was optioned yesterday. I believe he pitched yesterday, but he was optioned. So you're allowed to pitch in these exhibition games, even if you're optioned down to El Paso. It's an exhibition game. I mean, they have Leo DeVry. They have Ethan Salas. They have guys that are there in these exhibition games, getting that taste of being at Petco Park. I don't have Randy Vasquez on it. He can be optioned. He didn't get action there. Did he get one inning in Korea? Didn't get much action. Pedro Avila, I have him making it over someone like Adrian Morejon. Avila has no options left. He seems to pitch better out of the bullpen than as a starter. And he can be your long man there. Brito can pitch multiple innings as well. So is there that need for Adrian Morejon when this is his last option year? So I think you can use it. And if you need him, then yeah. This is kind of like getting the squeeze out of Stephen Kolek, in my opinion. Like, is Stephen Kolek going to last the entire year with the Padres as a Rule 5 guy? Like, you can't send him. He has to go through waivers, I believe, and then be offered to the team that he was on in that Rule 5 draft. The Padres selected him. So he has to be offered back if he's not on the big league roster. This, I feel like, is get what you can out of Stephen Kolek. He's pitching well. Get what you can. And Pedro Avila, he's got no options remaining. Who knows if injuries are going to happen early in the year and then you can put him into the rotation. He is starting, I believe, but he's pitching in Arizona with Matt Waldron today. I saw that. I think it was Sammy Leavitt that put that out. So I don't think Avila is pitching like one inning in Arizona. He's probably pitching multiple innings. So I think that they're going to have him be the long man in this bullpen. Sure, he didn't make the Korea series, but there wasn't that need to have Pedro Avila on that roster for two games. But this roster is going to be different from the Seoul series roster. You're going to have Dylan Cease on it. You're going to have Matt Waldron on it. you're going to have, let's see. I don't think you're going to have Brett Sullivan on it, but you're going to have Michael King, for example, starting games. Like, these guys have to be on the roster. It's a long season where the Soul Series, you're treating it kind of like a playoff series. It's two games. Just form it the best that you can to win those two games. And so that's what the Padres did there. So yeah, that's kind of my reasoning there for the bullpen. I think we know most of these names that are going to make it. I think the question is, maybe it's not even Kolek. I think Kolek is on. It's more, is it going to be Pedro Avila that makes it? Or is it going to be Adrian Marjon that makes it? I think it's down to those two. I don't think it's really down to Randy Vasquez. I think it's Marjon against Avila there. Catchers, I've got Campy and Higgy. Before getting into the catchers, I should probably mention Woosuck Go as well. He has already been optioned, so I didn't even consider him making this bullpen because he can't make the bullpen. He has to stay down for 15 days before being eligible to come back up. And also, I saw Kevin Acey, I want to say, put it in the UT yesterday that we were kind of confusing Woosuck Go. It wasn't him that had to accept it the first year. He has to accept being optioned to the minor leagues the second year of the contract. The first year, that's up to the Padres. So that, if you think about it, it makes more sense. Like, okay, first year, they can do whatever they want with you. You know, if you're not ready to go, then they can just option you. You don't get the decision. But second year, okay, I understand that. That made more sense when I read that yesterday. And then Campy and Higgy, two catchers is who I have making it. Brett Sullivan, he was already optioned to AAA on March 19th, and he has to stay down for 10 days. So there's no even conversation to be had there about, oh, maybe you put a third catcher on there. Infield, I've got same infield as the Soul Series, same outfield as well. Infield, Manny, he'll be DHing. Kim, he'll be at short. Bogarts will be at second. Cronenworth will be at first. Tyler Wade will be at third, I would imagine. Edgar Rosario is playing today, but Tyler Wade seems like he's the starting third baseman. Graham Pauly is the last infielder that I have. I don't really understand what the Padres, like, why have Graham Pauly be on the roster if he's not playing every day? When does the minor league season start? Because I guess if you're not missing minor league time, okay. But Mike Schilt did say in spring training, like, we probably want these guys playing if they're going to be on the big league roster. Graham Pauly's a top 10 prospect in the farm system. And so for him not to play, which he got, what, like one, two at-bats in the Soul Series? He didn't start either game. He's obviously not starting either of these two exhibition games, which tells you he's not going to be starting on opening day. So let's see. March 29th, it looks like, is the first game for El Paso. So the Padres, it seems like they're like, screw it about the whole service time thing. We think Pauly's ready. It's a left-handed bat. But, I mean, I guess you have to ask, who's the backup first baseman? Sure, they might want him to get at-bats, but who is the backup first baseman? Like, they're not bringing Nate Martorella up. Who is the backup first baseman? It's not like they've signed CJ Krohn or Dom Smith to a minor league deal or anything like that. So Graham Pauly's the backup first baseman, so that's why he's on the roster. Now that I think about it more, it's like, well, yeah, that's why. They probably want him, like I just said, they want him to get more at-bats, but it's like, well, what's your option? You didn't go sign another first baseman, so you don't really have an option. Like, Pauly, he had a good spring. He's a left-handed bat. You need lefties. And he can play first base. And you don't have Brett Sullivan on the roster that was having a little bit of playing time at first base. Bogarts, we know, isn't going to go play first base. Manny's DHing. Profar could play first, but you're going to have Azokar play every day in left. Right? You're taking Profar out of left and putting Profar at first. It's not like he has been playing first all of spring training. So, I mean, Graham Pauly's the backup. That's the option there. So that's what they're going with. And then outfield, Tatis, Merrill, Profar, and Azokar. Obviously, Tatis will be in right. Merrill will be in center. And then Profar will be in left. Azokar may come in late game replacement, get a start here and there. But, I mean, as long as Manny is DHing, the everyday players are going to be playing every day. What I am happy about, and let me confirm this, just going to the Padres schedule. Remember was it last year or the year before, where they had like 23 games in 24 days to start off the season? It was not kind to the Padres, their start to the season. But this year, they've got obviously the off days coming back from Seoul, off day on Wednesday before the start of the year, 4 games against the Giants, 3 games against the Cardinals, but then they already have an off day on April 4th. Then they have another off day a week later on the 11th. Then they have another off day on the 18th. That's not how it was last year for the Padres. I mean, they were playing a lot of games either last year or the year before in the start of the year. Let me double check. Was it last year? I can pull up the 2023 schedule here. So last year, we go to April. They had an off day on April 5th, but then their next off day wasn't until the 24th. They didn't have an off day on the same day every week like this April here. So, yeah, the start of the year is much friendlier to the Padres. Does that impact how they're going to put this roster together? But, I mean, at the same time, like I said earlier, I think we know most of the names that are going to be on this roster, pretty much all of it. We know the names. There's just a couple names that can't make it, but we know that it's down to them or the guy that will make it. And it's really like that last spot in the bullpen. We know the rotation. We know the position players. There's not really much debate. So that's what I've got for the home opener roster projection. Quick break, and then I will get to the chat. Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. Well, Randy Vasquez, according to Jeff Sanders, he has been optioned to AAA El Paso. So breaking news right there. He was packing his bags this morning. So that takes Vasquez out of it. I mean, the comments that I just made moments ago about Vasquez in that last spot, I wasn't even really considering Randy. I mentioned him, but I wasn't really considering him. Both moves occurred on Monday, is what Jeff is saying. Estrada being optioned and Vasquez. I knew about Estrada because I went and looked at the Padres website the other day, and they didn't announce that. I'm sure that they're going to announce Vasquez, Estrada, either if it's not after today, it's just going to be at the same time as the roster announcement on Thursday morning, I believe, is when it has to be put in. A certain time Thursday morning is usually when it has to be submitted to the league. All right, before getting to the chat, a reminder about some of the great partners of the show. Breaking Tee, Padres, Aztecs, Wave shirts, and sweatshirts. What a day Thursday is going to be. Click that link in the description, by the way, for that Breaking Tee. Great stuff over there. Thursday, Aztecs Final Four, or not Final Four, I wish. Aztecs Sweet 16 against UConn, a matchup between two talented teams, a rematch of the national championship game. UConn is viewed, I believe at least, in college basketball as the best team in the country. They've lost like 3 times this year. Insane. They've got Dan Hurley complaining about them being in prime time, not being the second game that's going to be played at like 10 o'clock at night or whatever. So that's annoying, but that's just coach speak. But yeah, UConn San Diego State after the Padres home opener, Padres game at 1 on Thursday, Petco Park, as I tweeted yesterday morning, I was like, shouldn't they just leave it as a watch party spot like last year? Like, that's great. I know it's a long day for the workers, but shouldn't they? Like, that would be great. I feel like that's a no-brainer, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to leave the Petco Park Jumbotrons on after the Padres game for fans to watch San Diego State face off against UConn. So I'm sure Tony Gwynn Jr. is very happy, because he gets to broadcast the Padre game on the radio with Jesse, and then he can just sit there in the radio booth and watch the Aztecs game on the Jumbotron, and he can freak out. We can get his reaction on camera again. Remember that last year? We got to see Tony's reaction to, I think that was the Lamont Butler shot game. We got to see his reaction. Aztecs fans in the stands were going nuts, because that was before the Padres-Rockies game, I believe, because Bud Black came out and watched a little bit of it. Obviously, former Aztec there. I feel like that was like the no-brainer decision. Don't have people go into – people will go into bars still, but why not keep concessions open? And you can bring in a little bit more money there. And sure, you're going to have to pay employees more, but you don't – I don't think everyone has to stay, and you'll just have the right side. I don't think the entire crowd will stay, but you'll just have people come down into the lower bowls if they want to and watch the Aztecs game. I think that's great. Getting to other partners of the show, Underdog Fantasy, 100% deposit match up to $100. Use code Talking Friars. Click that link in the description. Higher lowers. Not just baseball, other sports as well. Obviously, March Madness happening, women's and men's. I'm more interested in the women's tournament, to be honest, this year, but maybe that's just me. But yeah, they've got great stuff, obviously. Starting on Thursday, opening day, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for you to cash in there. And then SeatGeek code Talking Friars, $20 off your first order using code Talking Friars. Click that link. All the links in the description, as always. And then, by the way, San Diego Wave, their second game of the year. Obviously, they lost, unfortunately, their home opener against Kansas City. What a crowd that was. Over 32,000 showed up there at Snapdragon. Game two against Seattle coming up on Friday night at Snapdragon Stadium before they go on the road. And then there's also news that came out today about four Wave players that were named to the U.S. She Believes roster. Obviously, the four that we know, Naomi Girma, Alex Morgan, Jaden Shaw, and Abby Dahlkemper. They've got the She Believes coming up in April. All right, let's get to the chat here. NS says 577 is a lot of shows. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Yeah. Wow, that is a lot of shows. Now that I think about it, I mean, when I do these shows, I put the number up there just because that's what I did, I think, from the very start. I believe. And this was when I was like recording the Zooms. Well, actually, I didn't do the record the Zooms at the very start. I recorded, I think, a voice memo from my phone and put it up online as just an audio. And I think from the very start, I just said the episode numbers. So I just kept going with it. And I think hopefully for anyone that's new, they come in, they see the episode number. They're like, oh man, he's been doing it for a while. So you know, he knows what he's doing here. He knows what he's talking about. He has a little bit of a following. I'm just another Padres fan, though. Like, at the same time, I'm not pretending like I'm, you know, the biggest expert here. Like, there's some things that I don't know. There's some things that I question. And then some people in the chat correct me. And I'm like, okay, yep. I'm a passionate Padres fan. Family has season tickets. Like, I believe I know a lot about the team, but I'm not going to act like I know about everything about the team. I'm another fan, and I love interacting with other Padres fans. Anyone that is new, by the way, now that the Padres season is about to get fully underway here in the United States, I do offer fans to come on the show. I offer that every live show. Click that link that's pinned up at the top of the chat, and you can come on and ask questions if you just want to go back and forth. I offer that, and then you can obviously be in the chat as well. But yeah, 577, that's, again, I don't like sit here and be like, man, that's every episode. That's a lot of episodes. Here we go. But no, when you point it out, I'm like, yeah, that's a lot. Feels just like yesterday. I remember the first guest that I had on the show was Jesse Agler. And I was recording the phone call. He didn't like join on a Zoom or anything. He was on the phone. And I was recording it with probably my iPad and then posting our conversation online, but it wasn't on YouTube. I don't believe that one's on YouTube. But yeah, I've come a long way from that. So it is fun to sort of look back on that. All right, Red Devil NC says, Musgrove and Darvish won't last the season. Brito and King are valuable pieces. I hope they last the season. I mean, if Musgrove and Darvish don't last the season, that's going to be a big problem, because if this team has playoff aspirations, they have aspirations of going on a run, your three are Musgrove, Darvish, and Cease. Now, you could throw King in there if one of them, Musgrove, Darvish, one of them can't be there in October. But that's hoping that King pitches really well, right? I guess Brito at some point, but that's putting a lot on him right now. Things can change, but that feels like that's putting a lot on him, a lot on his plate at the moment. So that would be a problem, obviously. I mean, to have back-to-back seasons where those guys don't last the season, you look at teams around baseball. I'm not saying that Musgrove is Gerrit Cole. Believe me, I'm not trying to say that. But you look at the Yankees right now and Gerrit Cole out, their chances, I mean, it does not look great for them right now. Now, Gerrit Cole, he may not be out for the entire year, but that is a big loss. And now you've got the rotation of being Carlos Rodon, who's coming off a terrible season, and then Marcus Stroman. Okay. And then what else after that? I'm probably blanking on one guy that I should know, but there's Clark Schmidt for them. But you get my point. Like, it, the depth goes out the window, especially when you're the Yankee. Now, the Padres have acquired the pitching from the Yankees, right? So you feel a little bit better. But when you're a team like the Yankees and you lose a guy like Gerrit Cole, it's going to hurt any team. But I mean, the rotation, Nestor Cortez is the guy I forgot about. Cortez, Rodon, Stroman, Schmidt, and Luis Hill. That's when you lose Gerrit Cole. So if the Padres lose Joe Musgrove, they've got a rotation of Darvish, Cease. Now King is the three starter, Waldron and Brito. And then who's your depth after that? Avila? Well, what if Avila doesn't make the roster and he ends up on another team? Now all of a sudden you're like, oh, now there's Snelling that could come up. Well, Iriarte's not here anymore. So that takes that guy. Thorpe's not here anymore. That takes that. So you could see how, like, very quickly this could end up being an issue. So Musgrove and Darvish are so key to this Padres team, for sure. Greg says, I don't understand why Graham Pauley is on the roster if he isn't going to play third. Why not just send him down to El Paso for a few weeks until Manny is ready to play third and Pauley can DH? Yeah, and, like, I asked myself this question earlier in this show. Why is Graham on this roster? But they don't have a backup first baseman. If they would have brought in Brandon Belt is still out there, right? I haven't missed anything on that. He's still out there. CJ Krohn is out there. Yeah, he was, I believe, released. I guess they could sign them and then have Pauley go to the minors and get him consistent at-bats. But right now, Pauley is the backup. It has nothing to do with third. Wade is playing third. Rosario's playing third. Like, they like those guys over Graham Pauley right now. And Tyler Wade's actually playing pretty well, I think. So I'm not actually, like, super against that, to have Wade down there near the bottom of the order or at the bottom of the order. But yeah, with Pauley, it's not about third. It's about who's your backup first baseman. And Pauley is that option. Profar is starting in left field right now.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh,
Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mike says, I saw CJ Cron was released. Do you think that's an option for the Padres? Wouldn't he already be signed? Because if you're CJ Cron, don't you want to latch onto a team quick so maybe you can make their roster? If you see, oh, maybe there's a team like the Padres that have Graham Pauly, one of their top prospects, not playing every day. Maybe I could just go make the opening day roster right there. Or I'd be in the minors, but I could come up pretty quick maybe. I think you'd want to latch on quick. So I'm not so sure CJ Cron is an option. As a fan, I'm like, yeah, that's an option. But I'm not so sure the Padres are thinking much about that. Sure seems like when it's March 26th, I think that they don't want to deviate from their plan. Unless it's signing Tommy Pham, I feel like that's the only name that we're hearing that they're maybe going to bring in. Although that talk, to be honest, has quieted here. So it seems to me like they're pretty set on the roster. Ocean View Coffee Shop says, Ben, Gallagher Square and Petco Park looks amazing. I was not there yesterday. I was going to be there, but then I was working, but the stuff that I saw, the images, the videos, yeah, that looks really cool. That looks really sweet. What they did, having Tony and Trevor, the statues face one another, like Trevor is pitching to Tony. The visuals, the wall paintings, or the whatever it is, murals of the Padres players in the Gallagher Square entrance and exit. The Tony Gwynn, what is it, like tunnel there? The Tony Gwynn Terrace is what they call it, right? But then underneath, there's stuff about Tony Gwynn, I believe. So what I saw there, yeah, that looks really cool. Now, I did see there was like this, I don't know, it's not a controversy, I don't think. People debating the debate about, oh, why is there a pickleball court there? There's not going to be a pickleball court there when the Padres are playing, right? We're going to have to be dealing with a pickleball court. The answer to that is no. What I saw yesterday during the game, the pickleball net was not there. Now, it's concrete, right? It's not like grass. So people, you could sit there still, I guess, if you bring like towels. But people were sitting on the turf because it's not grass anymore. It's turf. So it seems like there's less room. But that's just where the picture, one picture that I saw, it seems like there was less room to sit. But people, I guess, could stand on the concrete there where there's that little, where the pickleball court is. They take the net down is what it seems like. So people can stand there or do whatever they want there. I guess you could sit there if, again, if you bring like beach towels or whatever. Because I don't think they'd allow you to bring your own chair, right? Just for like security. I don't think they do that. So maybe that's the one drawback, like less room. But people that get Gallagher Square tickets, you can walk around and go stand on the concourse to watch the game. You don't have to watch it in Gallagher Square. I know some families, like they have kids, but the kids are going to be playing on. Now, I think some families probably enjoyed having the play ball. What is it called? Play ball park, the kids park, be the front corner, so that they could watch them play and the big screen's right there. And now the field, I believe, is in the back. But you should still be able to see the Jumbotron there. And there's not like the line maybe getting in the way of people walking on that path, trying to get from, what would that be, left field to right field, you know, that pathway there, right in front of the Gallagher Square video screen. So there's positives, there's negatives. I think I'll make more of a judgment on it when I like go to it in person and see like how every detail, like what the setup looks like. Hopefully I'll be able to do that at some point this weekend. It looks cool. It does look cool, but I'm someone like, I don't care if it looks cool. I want it to work. I want fans to enjoy it. If fans enjoy it, great. But if they don't, and it just looks cool, then it's a problem. But I mean, you can't do anything about it. They've already spent $20 million on it. So I was listening to the Darren Smith show yesterday when I was driving. I think he had Kevin Acey on, and they were talking about, well, so Gallagher Square, new Gallagher Square. I mean, that's going to be here more than what Juan Soto was going to be here for. Cheaper than Juan Soto. Soto was going to get 30 mil, and Gallagher Square was 20 mil, right? And Gallagher Square is going to be here long term. There's no opt out. There's no leaving. Gallagher Square is not going to leave us in free agency. So I was laughing a little bit with that. But again, at least according to Eric Grubner, the $20 million was separate. That's a different budget than the baseball operations, the player spending budget was this year. Yeah, Chad, the Tony Gwynn, is that what they call it? The Tony Gwynn Tunnel? I don't know what they're calling it, but yeah, it does look cool. I believe there's audio of like calls, 3,000 hit call, stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. What they should do is like put not just Tony, but Padres history calls, like the Joe Musgrove no-hitter, put that in the loop. I don't know if it's just Tony Gwynn calls. It might be because it's the Tony Gwynn Tunnel. But like put, I guess that's more for the Padres Hall of Fame where they play the historic videos. So I guess you could leave that there, whatever. But that just thought popped into my head there. Like, you know, maybe have the historic calls on a loop. But if it's the Tony Gwynn Tunnel and it's dedicated to Tony Gwynn, then I definitely respect it only being Tony Gwynn stuff. All right. Yeah. Yes, I did see this in the comments here. Yeah, Petco. It's not now the number one park. It still is the number one park. It's been the number one park in baseball for years now. So it's not that it is now. It has been. And that's something that you give credit to the Padres for. Now, I don't like the raise in season ticket prices, concession stand stuff. I know that that's probably an increase across the league for the most part. But yeah, that gets pricey as well. And then tickets and then freaking parking for those that want to park. I mean, that's expensive. So I understand it, but they also need money as well. And it is a business. So I get it at the same time. One more thing. Props to Padres fans yesterday for that exhibition attendance. What was it? Over 34,000 people? Or was it 37? Might have been 37,000. That many people to show up to an exhibition game just shows you how passionate this team or how passionate this city is about the Padres. Sammy Leavitt, I encourage you to check this out. He posted a video in the seventh inning of yesterday's exhibition game. And it looked like it could have been a regular season Tuesday night where maybe the score, it's like 7-1 Padres or something, and maybe some people cleared out a little bit because they had to get ready for work the next day. But it's still a lot of people there for an exhibition game. So props to us, right? Props to Padres fans. Chad says, I noticed two new murals in the field level concourse during the celebration of life that were nice touches. One was Dave Winfield. The other was number 19. Yes, I walked past the Tony Gwynn one. Yeah, that was nice. That one's new. They have the new player banners up celebrating the 20th anniversary around Petco Park. Those are pretty sweet. So it looks cool. All right, that's going to do it. Talking Friars episode 577, excuse me. Thank you so much for the time, whether you're listening on podcast platforms, you're watching live or on replay on YouTube. Obviously, appreciate everybody for taking the time to tune in. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you all later. See ya.